you were talking about breath.
Yeah. How, as a mindfulness coach, you've explored breath in a lot of different ways. And there's a thing with pain. There's something with pain, or because I want to talk about pain, but I want to be careful about how I bring it up because I don't want to be confusing. So when you start exploring breath, you start breathing through your anxiety, your stress, someone kind of triggering you in conversation, and then maybe you learn to breathe through some deeper issues, you know, maybe the way you were abused or brought up brings up some heavy emotions in the form of tears come out of your face, in the form of water that comes out of your eyes. We call those tears. And then you just keep climbing the rungs of breath and what you can control with it. You eventually get to the rung of pain and different levels of pain.
The what of pain?
Rung. Like if breathing was a ladder. Yeah, if you're just moving up the ladder, you start with breathing through, you know, your depression or anxiety. Then you breathe through, you know, your heavy childhood traumas. And then you start, you know, you just climb the ladder of what you explore with breath until you finally get to pain. And then I'm going to explore pain with breath, you know. And you get to a point when you're exploring your breath with pain where you go beyond the tactile sensation. Well, we're still going to be talking sensation, but you go beyond the surface level sensation, the epidermal sensation, because regardless of what the pain is, there really is something all, like, after it. And I'm talking any, it could be a needle prick, you could break a bone, it could be an internal pain, whatever it is, the minute you start breathing through, the second you start breathing through it, you start to feel more. But it's not more pain, it's just more of what's going on. And it's so interesting. It really is. Like, it happened to me just yesterday. I tried to flip my board or whatever, I ended up falling a little bit, but the board hit my shin and I scraped my ankle on the concrete, and immediately I remembered how much it hurt to for a skateboard to hit you in the shin. And then I took a breath and I could feel where the blood was rushing to that part of my body, and it was actually pulsating a little more, almost as if my body was saying, hey, this needs a little more attention. And then I think I popped my ankle. I like did a little, you know, just a quick little snap, and it was fine. It became more just a sensation. I was like, oh wow, that's cool the way the body works. And then I just kept skating. I was like, cool, it was nothing. And it was little moments like that that just made me remember. Like, it made me think back to how much I breathe through now, and maybe some of the points where I know I can breathe through something and I didn't. And I was like, why would I do that? Did I forget to breathe in that moment? What's going on here? Mm-hmm. And I thought, it's just very interesting. Because not everyone thinks about breath like that. You know, because I saw kids, I saw this kid, man. And I call them kids because I'm 34 and I'm at the skate park. So they're all kids. So I'm just saying kid. I saw this young guy. He was trying really, really hard to land whatever trick he wanted. Was practicing there. You know, I couldn't tell you what it was. He wasn't close enough. I couldn't tell what he was trying to do with the board. But you could see how he was so lost in his head. He had seen a YouTube video. Someone had given him a couple pointers. And he was really trying to do that, you know, and get that right, you know. And I remember being there with skateboarding where people that were better, someone that could do what I wanted to, gave me a pointer and I wanted to do it. And their advice, by the way, would turn out. It was just given to me at the wrong time. You know, I was given advice that was a little too far advanced. I needed to get used to being on the board and being fluid. Because what ends up happening is you get on the board and you can roll. And then someone tells you, oh, after you ollie, just flick your foot to the side and everything's gravy. And it's like, well, no, not everything's gravy. Because then you have to catch the board, land, and bend your freaking knees. And not everybody does that. They, like, get the board, it hits the ground, and then they're like, ah, like, the board should have shocks. No, your knees are the shocks. And that's an interesting feeling to get used to because you're not used to landing sideways.
Mm-hmm. That's
you,
true.
You know?
Yeah.
So roll off a curve or so. Just get used to being sideways. Roll. Don't even jump off anything. Just roll down the sidewalk or the skate park and bend your knees all the way down.
Yeah.
Just get used to being in that motion. Yeah, mm-hmm. just squat, roll, and just do that. So now what you're installing in your mind is the landing. You're installing the landing for no matter what trick you're doing. Now you're programming the last half, the piece of advice you don't get. Everybody tells you what to do with the board to get it to. No one tells you what to do to stop it and to land the trick. Mm-hmm. You know, so practice that first. And that's how I do it. I said, let me get my feet under me. Let me get used to landing like this again. And as soon as I feel it coming, as soon as it's there, boom, it's coming. I feel the tricks coming back little by little. I landed another one yesterday. I was like, okay, cool. I got front side 180s. Let's do pop shove it. Landed pop shove it. Kenyo's on the kickflip. And I told him, I said, you picked up a skateboard and jumped to one of the more advanced, like, you're learning the last beginner trick you should learn. There's a bunch of other ones you should warm up with, but hey,
there
you know,
he was doing
go
it.
You, go you, dude. Go
it's
you.
Awesome. I love it.
It's great. But anyway, breath and landing, and I find that when I, oh, that was another thing, that guy I was watching practice, like, man, if he just let himself breathe a little bit, he would be a little more fluid.
Yeah, you could see his constriction.
I could. He was so tight and tense. It was interesting to watch. But I've noticed for me, when I'm breathing, like anything, whether it's bike riding, working out, running, lifting heavy things here at home, if you just breathe through it, just explore your breath. Breathe through your work. Find the pattern in your work that allows you to breathe the most free. Or how would I say that? More freely. The most freely. I don't know. The most free. That sounded correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Find the pattern in your work that allows you to breathe the most free and just roll with it. It'll be different. It'll definitely be interesting. But just explore that. And if you don't like it, change it. But it's interesting to find what your body wants to do if you just let it.
Mm-hmm. And if you like, listen and feel, you know, like go internally.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, get curious about the minutia and the little, all the fun, cool, crazy things that are happening inside of the body.
Whenever I was teaching somebody magic, like a magic trick, I would show them the most basic sleight. And then as soon as they got the idea, whether they were doing it right or not, as soon as they got the idea and they knew what they had to do, I'd say, okay, now close your eyes and notice how that feels to do that. Just think about doing it.
The feeling. Because there's the thinking and then the feeling of that thing.
And the only memory they have of, here it was a little mind hack, get this. So the only memory they have of that trick being executed is me. I sold it to them. They saw me perform it. They were like, I want to do that.
Oh, like in terms of magic?
Yeah.
Okay.
They saw me perform the trick. They're like, I want to learn how to do that. So I'm teaching them. So I know that when I tell them to close their eyes, more than likely, the image in their mind is of my execution, which, if I'm going to tune my own horn just a little bit, I know is flawless. Mm-hmm. Right? It has to be. It had to have been. So all they can think of is memory. If all you ever hear these extreme athletes say, I visualize it before I do it, I see myself making a slam dunk and everybody just bowing down to me because I'm a beast on the court, and then it ends up happening, I'm walking them through the same process. Me having them close their eyes, notice how that feels, forces them to think of the greatest way they could ever do it, and in turn, sends their body through that movement pattern. So now, they're like, oh my God, I can do it, I feel it, that's what it feels like. Now they have the perfect thing to practice, and they didn't even know, I just helped them find it.
Right.
So it's a nice little cheat.
You help them place a memory imprint within themselves.
Yeah, I walked them through how to think. Because I already knew what they were thinking.
Right, right.
Which is what I do in my session.
Right. That comes in handy in day-to-day life, too.
Yeah. Here, do this.
Yeah. That's awesome. Breath and pain.
So fun.
I know. It's powerful stuff.
I was going to say, I don't have to ask you to think of what I want. I just have to talk to you.
Yeah, you know how they think. Yeah, then you know how to talk to them.
Yeah, because I know how you think, I can say what I want and still get you where you need to be.
Right. It's nice. And it's nice when you use it for good, you know, as opposed to like the dark manipulative ways, but more to like assist a person in
exactly.
Getting to a place where they want to be.
Yeah. from a practitioner standpoint, it's less to think about when you're doing it for the right reason. Like when you're helping people change, you're helping facilitate positive change, it's less to think about. Because there's nothing left to chance. You're controlling even the end. And when you're being manipulative, when I was being manipulative for the wrong reasons, I noticed that there was always an opening for what would happen next. So the narc in me, the narcissist in me, could always say that I responded to that, that was the first domino. You know, even though me being manipulative said, well, let me set the first domino up for them so they can knock it over. Now I've got position throughout the next however long
horrible. That context would last. Literally, I feel sick inside right now as you're describing
it. You know? And in a way, it's the same thing here, except the first domino they knock off is their change. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? Go have fun in life and I'll follow up in a few days.
Right, like the ripple effect of
yeah, it. Yeah, go enjoy the ripple effect. Go do things. Notice how you think differently.